P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. The best way to save America? One marriage at a time.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, why, hopefully, they're going to be the views of Michael Shaw, and we'll be talking about Agenda 21. But if Michael doesn't show up, why, it'll be open lines, and we'll welcome what you have to talk about. But right now, we'll just talk a little bit about the background of Agenda 21. What is Agenda 21? Why, it is the agenda for the 21st century, laid out by the Brotherhood of Darkness, the evil people who control our government, who control both political parties, and who make mockery out of everything going on in the world today, and specifically make mockery of the concept that we have a representative government. And these people have taken over our government, and they have an entirely different outlook on what's going on in the world today. Now, let me simply point out that Agenda 21 calls for an agonizing or wretching transformation of America. And it will not be the America that you and I grew up in. It will be an entirely different America if these people are successful in carrying out their plans. And of course, basically, they intend to kill off a large part of the population. In fact, I have a little mnemonic for this. I don't even know if I can remember it, but the A is for the agonizing transformation of America. The G is for genocide. And if you read what these people say, they openly admit that they want to kill off literally billions of people in the world. Basically, they've already killed off 3 or 4 billion or prevented them from being born. And how can I make that statement? Well, very simply, here in America, why, we have actually financed and presided over the murder of 54 million children who've been aborted. Many of them were full term, and they were simply slaughtered. Little children who never run or laugh or have pleasure at all. And then, of course, probably twice that many were not born because of sterilization or contraception, or because of the fact that they're poisoning our food, aspartame, NutraSweets, 14,000 products, and it decreases fertility rates. So does genetically modified food, so does the bisphenol. Plastic lining in every tin can and almost all the plastics that we have, plastic bottles, and it's getting into our food. It's an estrogen-like product, and it interferes with fertility. They know exactly what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen. They just don't want you to know or have any idea what they're really up to. So if you'd like to, then, of course, in the American government has financed International Planned Parenthood. And International Planned Parenthood has financed and supervised the murder of the abortion of 400 million children in China, 400 million children, and a similar number in India. Now, you're never hearing about this, that we finance International Planned Parenthood, and they run these programs in both China and India, certainly in Russia since the beginning of the last century. Why, of course, they've actually had about 400 million abortions as well, certainly. The reproduction rate in Russia is about 1.2 children per family. They have terrible, terrible problems as far as that's concerned. Well, it looks like we have a caller. Let's see who we have on the line. Oh, who's calling in? Is somebody on the line here? Well, I
yes,
don't.
Dr. Stan.
Yeah, who's this?
Hi, this is Ed from San Fernando Valley. I just called in to mention to the person who runs the board that the hour four from yesterday is not available to record from. So I just calling in to mention that, and somebody put me on hold, indefinite hold.
I'm sorry, now what isn't available?
The hour four from yesterday on the archives.
Uh-huh.
You try and copy it, and it doesn't do anything. It's just nothing. One, two, and three, fine. Hour four is just with Cheryl. It just does nothing.
Well, we'll have to see if we can figure out what's going on there. But anyway, thank you so very much for calling, and
thank you.
God bless. We'll put them on. Okay, fine. Let's go ahead. Hi, Michael.
Gold
how are you doing?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we now have Michael Shaw with us as the director or president or premier or whatever of Freedom Advocates, but it is certainly the leading organization in America today, pointing out the dangers of Agenda 21. What is Agenda 21? It's a master plan for the 21st century. What is its goal? Its goal is to change America, to change everything about society, to regulate us from the cradle to the grave. And as Michael points out, they have a system certainly by which you are constantly being watched and monitored. And that's what the cameras that you see every place are about. They're not looking for terrorists. They're not necessarily even looking for people who are shoplifting. They want to monitor you. And this is what it's really all about. But of course, they're not going to tell you this sort of thing. They're going to give you all sorts of other excuses for what's going on. But Agenda 21 is being actually advanced here in America and throughout the world, where every citizen, every human being, at least those who are allowed to live, and believe me, there's a genocidal component to this, but those people who do survive the coming period of turmoil will be monitored from the cradle to the grave. So you go right ahead, Michael.
Well, I think that's a nice, elaborate description, Dr. Stan. This Agenda 21 program is affecting all aspects of our life. I mean, it's been for 20 years now that the federal government has had a full-throated commitment, both Democrats and Republicans, to the Agenda 21 implementation. It comes out through every federal agency. And, you know, that's driven people in rural areas, many of them out of business. It's taken ranchers off their land. It is moving toward the Agenda 21 objective of taking over half of the United States landmass and putting it off limits to human beings. That may sound bizarre to people who are not familiar with this, but we need to understand that the resources of the world are what Agenda 21 seeks to take control over. And that's why they claim that private property is an instrument of evil and needs to be abolished. All land and resources need to be held communally.
Well, but really not. But they make talk about communally, but basically there's a ruling elite who are really behind this whole thing. And when it is held communally, it doesn't mean that it's held for your benefit or my benefit. It means it's being held for their benefit and their exploitation. We go right ahead.
And that's exactly right. And that's where the Wildlands Project really begins to show itself, because the stated objective of the Wildlands Project is to dehabitate these areas and to disallow any extraction of resources. So when people say, well, how are they going to reduce human population from today's 7 billion to the Agenda 21 goal of 1 billion? And I say, well, that's easy. If we take away access to our resources, we're unable to get those resources. The peoples who have been stacked and packed in the cities simply won't have what they need to live. And so, as bizarre as it sounds, I mean, it is bizarre to a rational thinking person. The Agenda 21 program undermines everything of value to humanity, to Western civilization, to Christian, Judeo-Christian notions of right and wrong. This globalist plan is the root of evil. And that's why it's so important for the average American to understand it. Now, most people will say, well, how could we be in such a dastardly position without knowing this happened? And that's when I point out that people need to understand the monetary system that we've lived under for 100 years. Because I contend that the monetary system is what allows the globalists to gain control of all the indicia of information, all the important indicia of media outlets, not just in America, but around the world. And so the information we get is very filtered. And we don't learn about the nature of our monetary system in school.
And I think basically what Michael is saying is that a small number of people really control the wealth of the world, and they do it by a fraudulent system, which we call a fiat money system, and with that money, they buy up the newspapers, they buy up certainly the news magazines, they buy up the publishers. You can go and look up, say, Simon & Schuster, and you'll find Simon & Schuster owns probably 20 other publishing houses, and this is exactly what's happening. Regnery has been bought up by others, and of course, you have a centralization of publishing power. And then, of course, the major newspapers is the same thing. We have certainly television networks like Comcast, something close to 1,000 television stations in America. And there's 6 major corporations that control 90% of all the media communication in America. This is beautifully covered in a book by a radical leftist. His name is Professor Ben Bagdikian. He was up at Cal. He was a far leftist, but he felt that the far right had taken over the media. His book, though, is excellent because it simply lists who these people are and how they work and how all the corporations that control the media interlock and ultimately control what the American people think and believe. And that's why most people have never heard of Agenda 21. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, that's exactly right. And when the Fed goes and doubles and triples our money supply, which they've done over the last few years, and all that extra money is just funneled into the hands, first round of distribution, funneled into the hands of the globalist operators who turn around and do exactly the kinds of things you're describing in terms of owning the industries that they need to be able to control in order to move know, they're kind of holding all the cards, you know. I mean, to talk about the media again for another moment, here in Santa Cruz, our local newspaper is owned by a consortium that that owns the surrounding two county newspapers, San Jose Mercury and Monterey Herald. These three newspapers are all owned and operated by the same group, and that group is headed up by Bill Gates. So that gives a perfect illustration of the kind of concentration and control that those who are centered to the globalist movement have over what it is we are exposed to. You know, we had some people here in this last electoral campaign on behalf of a candidate meet with the editor of the Santa Cruz newspaper, and he proudly proclaimed that Santa Cruz was a government town. My only response to that is the Santa Cruz Sentinel is a government newspaper of a government town.
Yes, it is. Of course, we're fortunate that we do have KSCO. We have an independently owned and operated radio station, so at least people at least listen to KSCO will get some truth. But I personally met with the editor of a local newspaper. I will not tell you who that was, but I had lunch with him. And basically, he told me that he agreed with many of the positions I took. But there was nothing he could do about that. He was the editor of a newspaper. He was told what he could print and what he couldn't. He sympathized with me, but there was nothing he could do about it. He wanted to keep his job. He'd been out of work for some time. By this time, he was working, and he was going to do exactly what he was told. The result, why that newspaper puts out all sorts of information that is inaccurate. The editor knows it's inaccurate, wants to keep his job. That's what he told me. Go ahead.
Well, I think that's a typical situation in America. You know, I'm not suggesting that everyone, you know, working for a multinational corporation quit their job. But we need to understand what's happening under the surface, because we need to fight it. And, you know, even if you're still working for Boeing, you can take positions to fight this as it begins to invade your local community. The beauty of understanding Agenda 21 is that it gives the average citizen a chance to make a difference.
And basically, of course, one of the things is, if you notice, of course, that if you go to Europe, why, of course, the reproduction rate, in other words, the number of children per family, about 1.4 children per family in Germany, 1.2 children per family in France and Italy, and some of the other countries, 1.2 children per family in Russia. It takes 2.1 children per family to reproduce. These countries are all dying off. They say in Italy, just 50 years from now, forget it. Italy will no longer exist as a society. Maybe there'll be some Muslims living there or people from Africa, but the Italian race is dying off. And why is that? Well, part of it is, of course, because they have abortion and they've accepted these concepts about we shouldn't be having so many children. But the other thing, and nobody's going to tell you, is that so many of our foods are poisoned. So many of the, for instance, we don't, in Europe, they don't have water fluoridation. We have it here. And water fluoridation decreases fertility considerably. They've done studies of areas fluoridated and non-fluoridated and dramatically lower fertility rates where they fluoridate the water. And the same thing is true with people who eat anything that is sweet, has aspartame in it. Aspartame, the reason it's in some 5 or 10,000 products is because it actually decreases fertility. They know these things. And, of course, if you have a cell phone and a man wears it on his belt, it'll decrease his sperm count by 50%. They know these things. They just don't want the public to know. And, of course, this is one reason why we're having so many malformed children born. They know what's going on, and you're never going to hear this discussed in the general media. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, and that's why it is that a lot of this can be overwhelming to the average citizen. I mean, what are you going to do about all this evil that's being perpetrated all around us, coming at us from every angle? Well, the beauty, again, of understanding Agenda 21, of understanding how it's delivered through regional governance and through the federal agencies into your community with specific programs and targets for your community, and with dollar incentives push you into the corner and make you accept their determination. All of this can be understood, communicated to your neighbors, and defeated at the local level.
Amen. That's what we're going to have to do. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for our guest, why don't hesitate to call, question, or comment. But Sidney Michael is one of the best informed people on Agenda 21. And if you're not involved, why, you're part of the problem. Freedom is never free, ladies and gentlemen, and we're losing our freedom rapidly.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more disease. Better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael is simply talking about the whole concept of regional governments. Now, this is one of the things dictated in Agenda 21, and instead, of course, having everything determined by your elected representatives, like our city council or our board of supervisors, why, they began to create regional governments. And basically, this will be a combination of the counties. And basically, they have one in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's called ABAG, the Association Association of Bay Area Governments. And so all these governments get together, and this committee, Association of Bay Area Governments. Now, why would the various cities or counties want to go into this? Why? Because the federal government says, well, we've got money here and we'll give this to you, but you've got to join a regional association. Everything is designed, ladies and gentlemen, to take away representative government and have super regulatory government. And of course, we always have a few people on these organizations who are part and parcel of this cabal that is pushing the Agenda 21, this whole idea of transforming our society and doing away with individual freedom, ignoring our Constitution, and expanding the power of government over the every aspect of our lives. Go right ahead.
Well, so these regional councils, once your city belongs to it, then becomes showered by the federal government with the monies for transportation improvements, parks, real estate construction, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on and on and on. In the San Francisco Bay Area, the COG has come up with a plan. It's called One Bay Area. And this is a multi-decade plan for the remaking, the transformation, as they call it, of the San Francisco Bay Area. It establishes massive areas of wildlands on the peninsula running up from San Jose to San Francisco and on the East Bay, on the other side of the San Francisco Bay, massive amounts of privately held land identified as animal corridor routes, just the typical wildlands purpose designation. And it takes the urban populations, and we're talking 9 counties, 101 cities, 7.5 million people, and it requires that over the next 20 years, that every residential unit to be constructed, that's, they estimate 630,000 residential units, each of them has to be a stack of pack. No single family homes allowed under the One Bay Area program. And if you violate that city, you get no federal money for anything. Now, how much federal money are we talking about coming, being dispersed by the COG to lure all these cities into the One Bay Area plan, which is prototypical Agenda 21 planning? Well, the federal government, ABAG represents, has committed over $250 billion to the One Bay Area plan. That's not $1 billion, that's $1 trillion. Money made up out of thin air and loaned out to local governments in order to remake your community.
In other words, they really don't want people then to have individual homes. They want them in these multi-level apartment houses, things of that sort. Is this what you're suggesting?
That's exactly what I'm suggesting. This way, people can be monitored and controlled much more easily. But it's not just that you got to be in a stack and pack unit. The requirement under ABAG will be that every city must have 80% of those stack and pack units within a half mile of the newly designated transit corridor area. That means within a half mile of the light rail and the bus stop system.
Well, that's, of course, because they want to get us out of our cars. They want to get us onto the bicycles. They want to get us onto trains. They want to get us onto buses. They certainly do not want people to have our automobiles. Isn't that correct?
Well, that's absolutely right. But there's a lot more devious motivations, I think, Dr. Stan, than simply to get us out of our cars. They want to control and monitor us. They want to put us in a position of dependency on the system. A dependency on the state. You know, everybody locked up into these cities subject to public transportation. And what happens when the grocery store's shelves run empty?
Well, it's a frightening thing to realize that there really is a diabolical plan out there. It's being implemented. It's being implemented so slowly, most people don't see what's happening. Just a little bit at a time, and a little bit more freedom gone, and everybody has a number, and everybody has some sort of a charge card so they can monitor everything that you're buying. And of course, they have, through the Internal Revenue Service, they know exactly how much you make. Certainly, they can listen to your telephone calls under Project Echelon, and they can read your emails, they can read your faxes, and these are all stored away. They have these vast areas where they store away all the information on everybody. Everybody is to be monitored from the cradle to the grave, and freedom as we know it will simply become a memory of some distant past time.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid that is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, our guest is Michael Shaw. We have Michael calling from Michigan. And Michael calling from Michigan, I certainly talked about the people who are behind this whole movement of Agenda 21. And he looks upon it as a struggle between good and evil. And basically, of course, there really are evil people, according to Michael from Michigan, and certainly who are propelling this effort to change and transform America. And of course, Michael Shaw certainly agrees with that. He says that not everybody involved, well, certainly with this, is evil. Some of them are just goofs. Some of them have no idea what it's about. They're idealists. They've never had a serious thought. But certainly there are some people who are directing this whole move towards Agenda 21, the destruction of freedom as we know it, who know exactly what they're doing, and I certainly agree with that. Michael from Michigan, thank you very much for calling, and go right ahead. Michael, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with Freedom Advocates, why they should get in touch with Freedom Advocates, and help you in your effort to educate the public. Go right ahead.
Well, I'm going to answer that question a little differently than I have over the years with you in the past, Dr. Stan. I'm going to talk a bit about our website tonight to help people understand what use it can be for them. The website, again, is freedomadvocates.org, And when you get there, you'll find a whole host of information on the homepage itself. And of course, the site is very deep. You could spend, you know, essentially months of full-time study to really examine the whole thing. But what we try to do is each month have a fresh homepage that can serve as a good study guide for citizens who want to understand what Agenda 21 is, who don't want to be misled by some of the misrepresentation of Agenda 21 that's going out there, on out there now, particularly amongst media outlets that are so-called right-wing in orientation. You know, we're finding a lot of misrepresentation about the nature of Agenda 21 in these organizations as they simply blame it on the progressives. And if there's anything that's clear from a true study of Agenda 21, you find that Agenda 21 comes from the left and it comes from the right. And, the economic and the intellectual forces of Agenda 21 are really centered on the right. They brought us the World Trade Organization. They bring us the World Trade Policy that's driving us right into this economic path for Agenda 21. And then on the left, you get the environmental movement. You get this thrust for social justice, which is also supported by many on the right. Social justice is designed to end the era of equal justice. That is the era of individualism. Social justice is the government decides what's good for everybody, and you're treated as a member of a group and not as an individual. So, you know, we're facing these challenges from the left and the right, and if you want to understand Agenda 21, you've got to neuter yourself of that left-right dialectic. And if you go to Freedom Advocates, we'll work to help you understand how to do that, because we dig in and have been looking for 13 years now at the real core nature of what Agenda 21 is. So when we began reporting in 2005, 2006 about the implementation at the local level of Agenda 21, you can now go out anywhere in the country and see the same things happening every place that we were writing about 7 and 8 years ago. So by examining this, you can learn from the experiences of those of us who've been watching this for a while, and leverage off of our knowledge and advance the defense against Agenda 21 beyond where it is today.
And I think your point is so well taken. You know, most of the people on the left believe, of course, that the government is controlled by the people on the right and that the media is controlled by the people on the right. And then, of course, the people on the right say, no, it's the left that controls the media. It's the left that's responsible for all of our problems. And they don't understand that neither one. Basically, this whole thing, this left-right paradigm, has been established. After all, it's many people on the right who are pushing globalism, want an all-powerful army, want America to dominate the world. I mean, basically, that is the antithesis of limited government and individual freedom. And what people don't understand is there's another force out there, and these are the people who are neither left nor right. It's all about power, and they're the ones who have it, and they're the people who've infiltrated the right wing, they've infiltrated the left wing, they've infiltrated the American Medical Association, which is why they back Obamacare, they've infiltrated certainly our religious organizations, both Catholic and Protestant, they've infiltrated the educational system, they know exactly what they're doing, but the one thing is they don't want the public to know what they're doing. And basically, we have to get people to understand that we're moving rapidly towards an authoritarian system where every aspect and everything about us will be known by our invisible rulers. Well, let's go quickly to Gloria, who's calling from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Gloria. Do you have a question or comment?
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to thank Michael Shaw for keeping us informed about what's going on, because I was able to access a recent article that he wrote about the danger of some of these councils of government. Michael, do you remember writing about that in December?
Yes. Yes.
And because Ponderay County and even Stevens County, the county commissioners, they rule by this so-called Council of Governments, and I hadn't heard of it. I actually heard it. I heard it mentioned by someone, so I looked it up on the website for Ponderay County, which is north of Spokane. It's the county north of us, and you know, thinking it's a very conservative county, but yet this stealth council of government, the Northeast Washington Council of Government, is the way that they govern up there, because they meet with the other commissioners in several different counties. And I'm just thankful for someone like Michael Shaw that lets us know what this Council of Governments, what it is really up to. So did you want to comment on that, Michael?
Well, it's just important that everybody come to understand that wherever you live, you are being run at the local level by your Council of Governments. And that's not a constitutional framework for government. That's an extra constitutional framework for government. And we thereby surrender all the meaning of our local vote, because all of this gets tied to federal dollars coming in the form of bribes to your elected officials to go along with the Agenda 21 federal program. And so the objective, if we are to survive as a free republic, it is necessary that your town withdraw from the COG.
And the only way this is really going to happen, Gloria, is if you can find some people up there who have run for city council, who have run for board of supervisors, get your people into positions where they can counter the other side. There's not very many people on the other side, but they're organized, they're well-financed, and they've taken over communities all across America. I would say they control the majority of our communities, and it's simply because the good people have no idea what's going on, and they're not organized. Somebody up there has to get organized, Gloria. I hope either you or you get somebody else to do this and begin to get your people who believe in freedom, who believe in restricting the power of government, onto these commissions so that you can maintain your freedom. If we're going to take America back, we're going to have to start at the local level, not in Washington, D.C., because, of course, there we have the finest politicians money could buy. Anything else, Gloria?
No, I have rung the bell about this Council of Governments, but if I hadn't, you know, when someone mentioned it to me, I'm just thankful that Michael Shaw already rang that bell and let us know about the danger, because, and Tom DeWeese also did a good job of saying how they change the terminology all the time, you know, just like outcome-based education, it turns into another terminology. So we have to watch our form of governance, and we have to be really leery of this regionalization that's taking place. And I noticed that in our own county, Spokane County, the regionalization is through the health district and transportation. Those are the two big ones that are being controlled regionally. So,
okay, well, keep us posted, Gloria, and God bless. Thanks very much.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, go right ahead, Michael.
Well, let's go back to the ABAG. That's the Association of Bay Area Governments. The ABAG organization itself had a payroll last year for, for 100 guys of $11,200,000. Now, that's for running an organization that will dictate to 101 cities how it is those cities will be run.
And, of course, this is all funded, I assume, by the federal government. And the people in the federal government then basically, of course, are directing how our local communities were to be run. And that's the last thing that our founding fathers wanted. They wanted how our communities were to be run to be determined locally, not at a national or state or national level. Would that be a correct assessment?
Well, that's a correct assessment. To show how our political system has been corrupted, it was Ronald Reagan who said when he was governor of California that our political system was a horse and buggy one, and he was going to replace it with something new and modern. He's the one who brought COGS to California.
But, of course, we have an entirely different precept of Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was one of the greatest actors of all time. Everything he said, I believed in, as far as, you know, certainly how we had to limit government, we had to limit taxation. But you never judge a person by what he says. You judge it by what he does. And look and see what he did. Ronald Reagan was very, very critical of Jimmy Carter, because Jimmy Carter increased the federal debt deficit $200 million. And basically, it went from, $800 million to $800 billion to $1 trillion in the 4 years Jimmy Carter was in office. And that was approximately, $500 million a year that he increased the debt. Basically, when Ronald Reagan was in power, he increased the national debt $200 billion. every year he was in office. When he came to office, there was $1 trillion national debt. When he left office, why, there was a $2.7 trillion national debt. Everybody said what he had to just build up our Navy. We had to have 600 ships out across the world to defend ourselves. No, ladies and gentlemen, those ships were out there to actually accomplish this globalist dream of American domination of the world. Well, I believe everything Ronald Reagan said. I'm not sure that he believes it, though. Go right ahead.
Well, you know, another example of that was when he became president, the Department of Federal Education was very small. It had just been established by Carter. Reagan, of course, ran against the establishment of the Department of Education. By the time he left office, 8 years later, the Department of Education was the largest organization in the world. Okay? And it's the Department of Education that is now and was then planning to educate our children to become global citizens. And that's why the youth are not aghast about the transformation happening in America, that they have not been taught the nature of America as it was. They're not given the tools necessary to be able to identify regionalism as a grand threat.
You know, it's really so funny, Michael. Many years ago, I used to get invited to go up to the University of California here in Santa Cruz, where you and I live. And suddenly they would bring me up there to, you know, so they could heap ridicule on me. I would talk to the classes, and the teachers would ridicule me, and that prime the students for my coming, and then that laugh after I was there. And I'll never forget, though, the last time I was ever invited, we had a class, and these young people were just giving me a very bad time as I would espouse the conservative philosophy. And basically, you know, I was sitting there, I was wondering, why did I come up here? I've got 20 kids in this class. They're all confirmed Marxists. They all believe government should provide for the health, education, and welfare of the people. And finally it came to me. And I looked at them and I said, do you believe that the government should provide for the health of the people? And they all nodded. And I said, do you believe that the government should provide for the education of all the students? And they all nodded. And I said, do you think that the government should provide for the welfare and provide, you know, an income for everybody? And they all nodded. And I said, you realize, of course, that's exactly what communism is all about. Why are you students in embracing communism? Is this what you're being indoctrinated here? And, you know, it was almost as if a light went on in all of them. They followed me out to the car afterwards. They carried my briefcase. They all shook hands with me. First time they'd ever realized they'd been indoctrinated in Marxism. And that was about 30 years ago. I've never been invited to go back on that campus again. The last thing they want is for our young people ever to hear the truth. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, I think that's exactly right. Well, let me go back to the description of what you'll find at freedomadvocates.org, because if you're not familiar with Agenda 21 and you want to be and you want to get involved in the battle to free your city and free your county of the COG, Council of Governments, running your local government, what you need to do is understand the true nature of Agenda 21. So you come to Freedom Advocates, and just from our homepage, you can find in the center column some very rich articles. I mean, still what is heading our system right now is my more recent article on regionalism called The Blueprint for Your Serfdom. It's a short article, but it'll give you some good insights, give you some nice links, and get you thinking about how it is that our government has already been transformed. And then, of course, we've not talked about it tonight, but on that front page we have what we call the ICLEI Primer. And ICLEI, you know, interestingly enough, if you go to the ABAG website, you'll find all kinds of information about the contribution that ICLEI, International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, a UN NGO designed for the purpose of implementing Agenda 21.
A subversive organization. Go right ahead.
Totally. ICLEI is at the center of driving the Bay Area COG, ABAG, to its One Bay Area program. So, you know, we see this ICLEI. Even if you free your city of ICLEI, your city's still controlled by ICLEI, because ICLEI controls the COG, which controls your city council. So you need to understand ICLEI. You go to our homepage, you'll get the primer. It'll link you back to a list of all the cities that are members of ICLEI and some suggestions on what it is that you can do about it. There's plenty to do
Okay, now how can they get to your website? Let's get your website again.
It's freedomadvocates.org.
Freedomadvocates.org. Freedomadvocates.org. And if you can't remember that, go to my website, radioliberty.com. And we have a link from our website to freedomadvocates.org. It's the finest source of information on this whole situation. Go right ahead.
Well, other articles, I'm not talking about all of them that are today on the front page, but another one is called Public Officials Must Learn About Agenda 21. And this is written by Henry Lamb. I mean, you know, at Freedom Advocates, we've been doing this since the year 2000. Well, Henry Lamb was there in Rio in 1992 when Agenda 21 was unveiled by the UN. And Henry, who died last year, you know, was the original true leader in unearthing this dynamic that was to be hidden from the American public and which now increasingly is understood by a growing number of people across America. And real positive effects have begun to happen in cities here and there. And what we need to do is accelerate that growth of understanding. And when we've got people like Henry Lamb and our historical perspective, you know, it helps a whole lot. So reading some good core articles like this one by Henry about why it is that public officials must learn about Agenda 21 is just so important.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest, Michael Shaw from freedomadvocates.org.
You already know that calcium is important, but did you know that calcium cannot be absorbed without magnesium? That's a fact. And the calcium that isn't absorbed calcifies your soft muscle tissues. Haven't you ever wondered what's really causing all your muscle aches? I'm Pat Sullivan, the founder of Jigsaw Health. I created Jigsaw Magnesium with SRT to solve my own magnesium deficiency problems. You see, magnesium helps people feel younger because magnesium keeps the soft tissues from calcifying. This helps you sleep better at night and feel more energized during the day. Call 888-352-5050 and we'll explain why Jigsaw Magnesium with sustained release technology is so much better than any drugstore magnesium supplement. Mention this radio ad and receive $5 off your order. 888-352-5050. JigsawMagnesium.com.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken it upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. Judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
See you real soon.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope you enjoyed program this evening with Michael Shaw. Now, we basically have several DVDs on this. We have a DVD, a talk that Michael gave at the last conference. It's called Agenda 21, The Wretching Transformation of America. Agenda 21, The Wretching Transformation of America. And then, of course, we have a talk that I gave. It's called Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. And basically, they're talking about the same issues, but from different points of view. And suddenly, my point of view gets into the spiritual aspect of what's going on, because you really can't understand what motivates these people unless you understand the dark spiritual forces that energize them. So let me suggest those two DVDs for tonight. Agenda 21, the Wretching Transformation of America, and Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. And then, of course, I hope that if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you'll want to get it and read it. I hope after you've read it, you'll want to get a case of them. They will be available probably for another few weeks, certainly at a reduced price, a very much reduced price, where you're paying less than $2.40 for every book. But, of course, eventually, while we will no longer have this, will be the last printing I will probably be doing. I'm, as you know, I'm going to be 84 and the next few days. And so, making this one last printing, and we're well over a third of the way towards getting the commitments on it. So if you do get the book, the case of books, why, we'll send you either a free a four tape or four CD set or a free DVD, something we produced to help you cover the cost of shipping. But if you're interested, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you certainly get my DVD on Agenda 21, The Covert Plan, there's a syllabus that comes with that. If you get the syllabus and the DVD together, you get it at a decreased price. But the important thing is you have the documents. You really understand they really do intend to kill off most of the people in the world. If you have not yet read my treatise, Population Control Agenda, the Population Control Agenda, you can get it off the internet. Just go to your Google or your search engine and type in Population Control Agenda. You can put in my name or Radio Liberty or just Population Control Agenda. Eventually you'll find it. If you get anything, any of the items we've talked about, we'll give you a free copy of that. And even though it's written 15 years or more ago, the information in it is fundamental, is seminal to understanding what's going on today. And these people openly talk about their desire to kill off the vast majority of the people in the world. If you've never been to Alberton, Georgia, to see the secret shrine there that has been put up, and of course there they call about certainly maintaining the population of the world, maintain humanity at less than 500 million. Maintain humanity at less than 500 million. We have over 7 billion people in the world today. They're talking about killing off almost 95% of the world's population. They know exactly what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen. But, of course, they are keeping this concealed. The last thing they want is for people to find out until it's too late to change the course of our nation. We're moving into a crisis situation. For those of you who have not heard the information we have on the danger of an EMP attack, and of course we have a four CD set, we have a DVD, a talk given by Ambassador Henry Cooper, we have the book A Nation Forsaken, and we actually have the 2004 Congressional Commission report. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, if you get that, you just ask for a copy of the Heritage Commission report, written by two PhDs who have analyzed the threat of an EMP attack. And they will tell you that if we were to have one of these attacks, it's not a matter of if but when. Is it coming sooner or later? Could it simply be the solar flares doing this? Could be exploding a nuclear device? But within 6 to 9 months, within 6 to 12 months after that, up to 90% of the American population could be dead. Up to 90% of the American population could be dead, which is exactly what these people want. Would they do something like that? We're dealing with organized evil. I think they would. We'll be right back.
I'll be grateful for a land so fair. As we from the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, white with hope.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and hopefully for the next hour they're going to be the views of William Grigg. I think he's on the line there, and he'll be with us in a moment. But William, certainly for many years, was the senior editor of the New American magazine. For a time, he was the editor of the Republic magazine. Certainly, he has written for many other magazines. You can see his articles regularly at lourockwell.com. Lourockwell.com. Certainly, William has written a number of books, excellent books, and I'm sorry they're out of print now. If I had the wherewithal, why, we'd get them back in print again. But we think William is certainly one of the outstanding, article writers of our time. He writes my newsletter. He actually, every month, since I'm getting a little old and don't have the time to organize well enough to write the newsletter, I wrote it for probably 15 years anyway. But now William writes the newsletter, the Radio Liberty newsletter on a monthly basis. And I will tell you that this month's newsletter, you will not forget it. You'll certainly want to read it. It'll be going out in a few days. If you subscribe to the Radio Liberty newsletter, if you want to get a free copy, why, we can send it to you upon your request. Basically, it'll be posted on our website probably in about 2 weeks. But, of course, this goes into this effort to confiscate the weapons from the American people. It's one of the finest newsletters I've read. I'm very, very impressed by it. But right now, we have William on the line. And good evening, William. What are we going to be talking about?
Dr. Stan, it's always a pleasure to be with you. And we have to talk about the fact that the state that rules us has turned feral. And there are myriad indications that this is so, that it's going to grow worse, growing worse in crescendo. But the fact that at the beginning of the week, the Obama regime, and no other word is suitable to describe the administration in terms of its actual character, the Obama regime leaked a white paper that had been prepared by the Justice Department regarding the targeted killing of U.S. citizens and others who are designated by the president or by a panel appointed by the president, accountable only to him, as enemy combatants. And this document manages to stuff so many sophistries into the space of just a few pages that it may constitute a new bureaucratic record. It is the direct offspring of the Hume Memoranda from about 10 years ago, a little more than 10 years ago, under the Bush administration, or the Bush regime, if you will, that talked about the supposed legal privilege of the president to order the torture of somebody who is suspected of being an enemy combatant, being associated with a terrorist group, Al-Qaeda, or what is called an associated force. And the term associated force is one that is studiously vague, marvelously ambiguous, and entirely crucial to this formulation. An associated force is anything that is associated in the minds of the decision makers with the targeted group, Al-Qaeda, which, as far as I can tell, is not an organization, but rather a brand name or a catchphrase. There really is no Al-Qaeda as such. There never has been. But what's happened is that they've created a standing bill of attainder that can be used to criminalize the person of anybody designated by the president as an enemy of the state. And this is now the open, overt, unblushing policy of the United States government under Barack Obama, and it's been endorsed by the top conservative leaders and Republican leadership of the Senate.
But is it even more frightening, William, is that none of our religious leaders will speak out against torture. They'll not speak out against torturing people to death, and a number have been tortured to death. certainly by our people. And now, of course, they've taken it upon themselves to say we have the right to use drones to kill even American citizens if we suspect that they're somehow related to terrorism, or even they're members of their family who aren't even convicted of anything, just members of the family. William, you go right ahead.
What I find to be genuinely disturbing here, not only is the tacit acceptance of all of this by religious leaders, as you mentioned, Dr. Stan, but the enthusiastic embrace of this by the supposed opposition party. The one thing that many people, myself among them, had hoped would happen is that out of simple, petty partisanship, most of the Republicans would oppose what the Obama administration is doing, just out of partisan reflex. For instance, back in 1999, when the Clinton administration was bombing Serbia, a country that more than most recent victims of Washington's imperial benevolence had constituted no threat to us. The Serbs actually have always been very congenial to the United States, even under Tito, who was a relatively mild form, if such a thing could exist, of Soviet-era communism, because Yugoslavia at the time was supposed to be sort of the liaison to the West. It was favored by the banking establishment. Slobodan Milosevic, who'd become the tyrant ruler of Serbia, had been the emissary of Tito to the banking community here in the United States, as it styles itself. But even during unabashed communist rule, the Serbs were always pro-Western. During World War II, the Serbs had actually worked to liberate, to rescue and liberate downed U.S. and British airmen who had been shot down by the Nazis. They were always very congenial to the United States, Anglophone for the most part. During the 1990s, of course, you had the wars of Yugoslav succession that were bloody affairs that were completely avoidable. But the Serbs themselves had not done anything to deserve any kind of hostile attention from the United States, but they were the subject of a 78-day NATO bombing campaign based on patently false premises. And when the Clinton administration started this aggressive war against Serbia, there were many conservative commentators of the Sean Hannity ilk, including Mr. Hannity, who condemned what Mr. Clinton was doing simply out of partisan reflex. They pivoted, of course, immediately when Bush was in the Oval Office. Many of these people loudly championed what the first George Bush had done with respect to Iraq, but just out of partisan reflex, they didn't like the fact that a Democrat was doing that. I was hoping that 14 years later, that there would still be some residue of this kind of Republican brand covetousness, that they would not approve of what Mr. Obama is doing simply because he was doing it. Well, unfortunately, the same people on that side of the aisle of that kidney who correctly described Mr. Obama as an embryonic dictator, I think he's past the embryo stage. I think we're talking about a near-term infant, if you'll use that metaphor, that as a developing dictator, they criticize him for displaying all of the stigmata.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Senator William is simply pointing out that ordinarily, Chris, if the Democrats support something, the Republicans oppose it. If the Republicans support something, the Democrats oppose it. And that's the way the two-party system works. And ordinarily, of course, you would expect that certainly the Republicans furious with the fact that President Obama is going along with, of course, the policies of torturing people to death that really began under the Bush administration, but they're continuing under the Obama administration, and now Mr. Obama has said that basically he will have the right to determine if they can kill American citizens overseas who have never been indicted, who have never been convicted. They just feel that they're working with the terrorists, and as a result of that, they can be killed using the drones. And not only that, but recently there was the instance of the 16-year-old boy who was in Yemen looking for his father. This 16-year-old boy was an American citizen, as his father had been. His father was killed by a drone. And then this innocent 16-year-old boy, having dinner with a friend in Yemen, looking for his father, he was killed in a separate attack. He was never accused at all of being involved in terrorism. We just went ahead and killed him because basically all, I mean, after all, if the father does something wrong, shouldn't we kill the children?
Damn.
I mean, what madness is that? Well, where is the Republican outcry? Even more frightening, where is the outcry from our religious leaders? Go right ahead.
That's exactly right. I had hoped that there would be some kind of a reactionary response from the Republicans here condemning what's going on. But unfortunately, almost the entire commentariat attached to the Republican Party has endorsed the use of drones to bring about the summary execution of U.S. citizens who have been designated by the president. That's an important part of this formulation, by the president, as enemies of the state.
But we know that they're going to be having 30,000 drones here in America. I mean, we already have thousands of drones already operating here, and some of them are really so small you can't even identify them. They're going to have 30,000 drones here in the United States. Would that mean that they could certainly eliminate American citizens that they expected of working with the terrorists? Or how about killing the children if you don't like somebody?
Yeah.
Right ahead.
Yeah. That's something that's not being discussed here. That's been shunted to the periphery of this discussion here, both by partisans of the Obama administration, by his partisan critics on the right. I was at a church function this evening in another town, and on the way back, it was about a 45 or 50-minute drive, I was listening to Lars Larsen, who's a nationally syndicated radio host out of Portland, and he was discussing the issue of drones. He said two things that, of course, were entirely mutually incompatible. The first of which is that we cannot trust the government. The second of which was that it's a good thing the government has the ability to bring about the discretionary murder of targeted supposed terrorists by way of remote control drone strikes. We just have to be somewhat skeptical about the way they exercise this unaccountable power. He didn't understand that once you've granted the former, the latter, of course, is not possible. If you've granted carte blanche to the president to carry out this function, then you cannot, by definition, hold him accountable or scrutinize his actions because the procedures are completely opaque. A couple of days ago, the former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., John Bolton, was on Fox, and he commended what Mr. Obama was doing with the drone policy, and he said, as closely as I can paraphrase, that it was obviously and patently an outgrowth of what the Bush administration had done during their tenure. And, of course, that's true. This is the natural progression from the U memoranda of 2001-2002. And John Yoo himself took the editorial pages of the Wall Street Journal today, saying that he thought that this was a sound approach, but he criticized the Obama administration, as Republicans of his ilk usually do, for being insufficiently tyrannical. He said the problem here is that they acknowledge the possibility that there might be some kind of due process considerations attached to the use of drones in murdering, assassinating, targeted so-called terrorists overseas.
Well, you mentioned John Bolton. You know, basically, we read a lot about John Bolton. I saw what a very well-known conservative organization in America is having a big party in Southern California. They've invited John Bolton there. He's the ex, of course, the former American ambassador to the United Nations. But nobody ever mentions that John Bolton is part of the Subversive Trilateral Commission, a member of the Subversive Council on Foreign Relations. Why don't we ever mention that? Why don't we mention that John Kerry, who is the new Secretary of State, is a member of the Subversive Trilateral Commission and the Subversive Council on Foreign Relations? They're both globalist organizations. And, of course, if anybody who questions the motivation behind the Trilateral Commission is only go to their website, trilateral.org, look at their logo, and there's three curved arrows, you can almost look and imagine on the inside of those arrows, you can see a six. Six, six, six. But no question that the three arrows are bound together by an upside-down broken cross. And if you look up the logos, you'll find that's the emblem of the ancient mystery anti-Christian religions. Why would they have a logo like that for the Trilateral Commission? And why would suddenly, between 1977 and the year 2008, seven of the 12 secretaries of state coming from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission, Hillary Clinton didn't belong, but her husband did, Susan Rice, who was then nominated by President Obama to become the American ambassador to the, pardon me, to the, she was the American ambassador to the United Nations, but she was nominated to become Secretary of State. She came from the CFR and the Trilateral Commission, and when she bowed aside, why, then we have John Kerry, CFR, Trilateral Commission. Is that coincidence? Could that have just happened by chance? Or is it possible that we have a two-party system, both parties controlled by the same people, and our access to information controlled by the same people? Go right ahead.
You're talking, of course, about the fact that these people are all drawn from the same Stygian talent pool. And that talent pool, of course, is defined by these elite organizations of people who believe that it is their natural right to preside over the rest of humanity through deception, coercion, intimidation, terror, and where necessary, mass bloodshed. They're the architects of this incredibly vile foreign policy that Washington has pursued for many decades, probably the better part of a century. And of course, they're connected with what I consider to be the focus of evil in the known universe. In a political sense, obviously not in a spiritual sense, there's a different focus of evil in that respect. But with respect to the political and economic system, of course, the center of that is the Federal Reserve and the banking elite that created the political elite that we're talking about. These people profit off of misery. They have a way of monetizing the misery of other human beings whom they regard as cattle before their divine presence. And John Bolton is an interesting figure in a couple of other ways, just for the benefit of readers who are interested in looking into some of the dingier aspects of this fellow, who is, of course, the perfectly typical representative of this power elite we discussed. Just Google John Bolton and Plato's Retreat and do your own research. These people are depraved in every way that's possible. There is, of course, the libido dominandi that they embody, which is the lust to rule over other people. There are other aspects of the human libido that are often associated with that perverted impulse to control the lives of other people and dispose them as you see fit. And that's the essence of this drone policy, the idea that there are some people who do not have standing before the law, that they have no rights that the state is required to respect. And the really horrible thing about what happened with Anwar al-Awlaki, whose name was brought up by Lars Larson, this nationally syndicated conservative host, whom I listened to about an hour ago, he mentioned Anwar al-Awlaki and said, as if it were an established fact, that he was part of a terrorist group waging war against the United States. There's not a syllable of that that's true. I do not have any brief for Mr. Al-Awlaki's theology. I don't think that his analysis of current events or historical events was necessarily sound. What he said, in so many words, is that when a country is invaded by a foreign power, the people in that country have the right to use lethal force to repel the invaders. He said that's a universal principle that applies to Iraqis and Afghans just as much as it applies to Americans and British. And he went out of his way to condemn the attacks on 9/11 here in the United States, and also to condemn attacks by military forces in the United States and other Western countries against Muslim nations that involved the death of civilians and other non-combatants. He went out of his way to say that there is no moral justification for killing civilians, whether you're a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew or of whatever religious background, for whatever geographic origin, you do not have the right to kill innocent people. He was very, very, very expansive on that subject. Whatever else you can say about him, he got that right. If he got everything else wrong, he got that important part right. He was never somebody who was waging war against the United States anywhere in the world, much less, of course, against the United States, the mainland of this country, the civilian population of our nation. But it was just taken for granted that because he was killed, he obviously must be a terrorist. And that's the sort of thing that happens when the decision-making process is withheld from public scrutiny and conducted outside the channels that lend some kind of accountability. You just have to take ex post facto, on the basis of the word of the people who carry out these lethal strikes, that what they're doing was appropriate, that they targeted only those people who meet whatever criteria prevail this week.
But, you know, we are a nation of law. This is an American citizen. He has never been indicted. Basically, why didn't they indict him? Why shouldn't we have our special forces operating all over there? Why not send a special force team, capture the man, and bring him back and try him? Why simply execute him when he's never been charged, he's never been convicted? What happens if they made a mistake? And then why did they kill his innocent 16-year-old son? Why did we ever talk about the 16-year-old boy over there looking for his father, concerned about his father? Why did they kill him? And how many other innocent people have they killed? I mean, certainly we're financing the rebels there in Syria. I mean, they'll try to convince you they're not. I read an article in the Wall Street Journal today saying that some people wanted to finance the rebels, but Obama wouldn't let them. Ladies and gentlemen, we are financing the rebels. We're financing the rebels. We're arming the rebels. We have special forces teams in both Turkey and Jordan who are training the rebels, and they've killed over 60,000 people. I've met thousands of them are children. but you'll never see President Obama going onto national television and wiping his eyes over the thousands of innocent Syrian children that the men we are financing are killing. Ladies and gentlemen, reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. And I fear that evil dominates Washington, D.C. today, and God's judgment is coming on America, in large part because our ministers will not speak out for righteousness. William, go right ahead.
I want to enlarge upon the question of Anwar al-Awlaki's 16-year-old son, Abdel. His name is never mentioned in the controlled discussion that we're seeing this week, ratifying after the fact the Stalinist, and I use that word in its specific sense, the Stalinist policy of the Obama administration regarding the discretionary killing of people overseas and by derivation here in the United States. It's interesting that the FBI director, Robert Mueller, was asked about this in a recent hearing in Congress as to whether, by virtue of the same purported authority that the president deploys overseas, he could order the summary execution of the U.S. citizen here in the United States who is designated an enemy combatant on the basis of the same criteria. He said he'd have to check with the Justice Department on that subject.
But you know very well, I mean, I have actually interviewed government assassins. We have a four CD set of my interviews with two government assassins, and basically they'd both been assigned jobs to kill people here in the United States. Now, both of them claimed they didn't carry out their assignments. One of them is dead. The other one has disappeared. Both of these people I interviewed. Suddenly, we have an interview in that set with a man who tracked down the man who was hired to kill General Patton, and he's written a book about it, about Target Patton. You're never going to hear this thing mentioned. Well, I mean, everybody's so upset because, of course, what's gone on over in Yemen recently. We've been killing people here in America for years.
Yeah.
The average American finds it so difficult to believe we could have CIA-trained assassins. And yet, of course, that's exactly what happened. You can hear my interviews with Lieutenant Colonel Dan Marvin, who was trained as an assassin to work here in the United States. He was trained by the CIA. This is not imaginary. It's real. If you doubt it, listen to the four CD set. Go ahead.
What, of course, distinguishes what's going on from what you're talking about regarding the existing, long-existing program of assassination is the fact that this is going on overtly now. It's a matter of acknowledged public policy. And Senator Lindsey Graham, who is probably the most reliably craven member of the Senate. There's a lot of competition. Republican member of the Senate on matters of civil liberties. He's the same guy who back in 2011, when the original NDAA was being debated, went on a gleeful, petulant, sadistic soliloquy about how if you're designated a terrorist by the United States government, you don't get due process, you don't get a lawyer, we're going to lock you up and treat you the way that we see fit. In other words, he believes that the government should have this power simply to criminalize the person of somebody. But in the last week or so, and next week, this is something that he has announced, next week he's going to be proposing a resolution for the Senate's consideration approving of the Obama administration's targeted killing program by way of drone assassination and explicitly approving of the murder of Anwar al-Awlaki, but he's not going to mention the 16-year-old son. This is something that is not being discussed here, the fact that they targeted this man's adolescent son, who was never accused of anything, unlike his father. This is done by way of deliberate policy. The Obama administration has owned that act. Their original story was that he was a suspected militant in his 20s. That, of course, was a lie, and they knew it was a lie. Then they said that he was surrounded by people who were considered suspected militants, and that supposedly he was the initial target. That, of course, is a lie that compounded the first one, because in the first instance, they'd acknowledged that they had targeted him. And, of course, that second lie was also a tissue of audacity, because he was with friends who had done nothing.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William is simply talking about how Awalaki's son, the 16-year-old boy, was killed. He was targeted 2 weeks after they killed his father, suddenly under very questionable circumstances, when they killed his son. They sent a drone there, and the son and a friend were having a dinner there in Yemen, and they had a drone strike, and they just blew them all up. But of course, we don't usually talk too much about that sort of thing. In fact, there was a fascinating article. I just read it about 2 days ago in the Wall Street Journal. And it was this gentleman, and he was an imam. He was a religious leader in Afghanistan. He had 7 children, and he was very much against Al-Qaeda. He had spoken out publicly against Al-Qaeda. And basically, of course, the local Al-Qaeda authorities said that they wanted to talk to him. And he said, well, I'll talk to you, but I'm against what you're doing. And so they arranged a meeting. The imam, the religious leader, who had 7 children, who was speaking out against Al-Qaeda and certainly supporting American position, was a little concerned about the meeting, so he took the local chief of police along with him, and he met with the 2 members of Al-Qaeda, and as they were then discussing his criticism of Al-Qaeda, the drone came over and simply incinerated them all. Now, people say, oh, well, we probably was a mistake. No, I don't think so at all, ladies and gentlemen. I think they knew exactly what they were doing. But did they do it because they wanted to kill the 2 members of Al-Qaeda? Or because they wanted to destroy a man with 7 children, a religious leader in Afghanistan, who spoke out against Al-Qaeda? Because basically, ladies and gentlemen, if you go up on the internet and you Google in CIA funds Al-Qaeda, you'll find literally thousands of articles up there of how the CIA funds Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and this whole radical Islamic movement. Everything you see and you read, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately isn't true, for reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. But please don't take what I say. Yeah. Fortunately, we have the internet. You can check this out. Story 2 days ago in the Wall Street Journal. And this father of 7, they simply incinerated along with the police chief. And what was his crime? He spoke out against Al-Qaeda. Go right ahead, William.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think that was in the New York Times. But
it may very well have been. I could be mistaken.
But it's a really good example of what we're talking about here, Dr. Stan, which is the fact that at very best the program is indiscriminate. And because it's indiscriminate, it fails one of the most important tests of the just war doctrine. That's one of the claims made in this white paper, is that the drone attacks are supposedly compatible with the just war tradition, which, of course, is nonsense on stilts. Same thing was said about the attack on Iraq by the Bush administration back in 2003. They knew at the time that was a lie. And, of course, in this, as in some of the other ways, the Obama administration represents seamless continuity with the Bush administration rather than a radical departure therefrom. But the thing about what happened in this instance is that you have somebody who, while not necessarily congenial toward the United States, was understandably and commendably hostile toward Al-Qaeda. And now by killing him, you've created on the part of his children a probably incurable hostility toward the United States. In other words, what they're doing is they are propagating terrorism by carrying out this policy that involves either deliberate malicious targeting of the innocent or culpable indifference, depraved indifference toward the innocent people who are killed in these indiscriminate attacks. Pakistan has been turned into, some parts of Pakistan in any case, have been turned into a shooting gallery for drone strikes, including double tap strikes, where after the first attack, a second attack is staged a half hour later or so in order to wipe out the first responders who come to render aid to those who have been attacked by the first missile strike. This is a terrorist tactic. The State Department, of course, has documented this being used by groups that it has designated as terrorist organizations, such as Hamas. It's something that was very commonplace in a lot of the anti-colonial terrorism that you saw during the 1960s and 1970s. The difference is, of course, that now they're using remote piloted drones that have very sophisticated targeting apparatus. Usually you're being guided to the target by agents on the scene who are painting targets with laser sights and other technology of that sort. In other words, you're dealing here with the same depravity, but it's technologically much superior.
But of course, it's my fear, William, is this is all preparatory to a war with the Muslim world. Yeah. And we're uniting the Muslims in a common hatred of America, just as we did everything we could to unite the Japanese with a hatred of America so we could have World War II, and the German people so they could have a hatred of America so we could have World War II. But now we're uniting the Muslim world. We're destroying the existing governments over there. Uniting them behind the Muslim Brotherhood incident, we have financed, since the end of the Second World War, covering the book we carry called The Devil's Game. The book, The Devil's Game, will tell how the Muslim Brotherhood was originally originated back in 1928 by the MI6 British intelligence, and then, of course, they turned it over to America after the Second World War, were financing the Muslim Brotherhood on one hand, and then preparing to go to war with them with another. We'll be right back.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so
William, you go right ahead.
By way of rounding off the discussion dealing with Anwar al-Awlaki's 16-year-old son, Abdel, it's important to point out that when confronted about this subject, Robert Gibbs, who is the former White House press secretary and who was a high-ranking campaign advisor last year during the presidential campaign in the White House, responded that essentially it was the fault of Anwar al-Awlaki's father that his son was killed, that Anwar al-Awlaki should have had a more responsible father. In other words, he was acknowledging that this was something that was done by way of deliberate policy on the part of the Obama administration, because they considered the father to be irresponsible on account of the fact that he had supposedly adhered, never proven that he had, supposedly adhered to a terrorist enemy. So what they're endorsing here obliquely is a prohibited doctrine called corruption of blood that is forbidden explicitly in the black letter text of the Constitution, not even in the Bill of Rights, in the body of the Constitution itself. What that doctrine dictated was that somebody who was related to a person identified as a traitor to the crown, in the case, of course, of the British monarchy, monarchical system, somebody who was merely related to an accused traitor could not be considered treasonous himself by virtue of that blood relation. But that apparently is the operative principle now on the part of the Obama regime. If you're related to somebody who is considered a traitor, a seditionist, an enemy combatant, then you're fair game as well. Why would they be promoting that doctrine with respect to non-U.S. citizens, for that matter, unless they're seeking to catalyze the type of resentment that would lead into a multi-generational vendetta against the United States government, thereby triggering the type of perpetual war with the Muslim world, with the Arab and Muslim world at large, that you were describing just a minute ago, Dr. Stan? And with respect to how that applies domestically, what that means is that if you are part of a family in which some conspicuous person is deemed to be an enemy of the state, then that entire family becomes fair game. And I suspect that this, once again, is part of the Stalinist dynamic. I'll use that expression again. Because Stalin, of course, went after entire families. He went after entire families who were considered to be politically unreliable, and the doctrine under Stalin was that of Pavlik Morozov, who was decorated by the Young Pioneers because he turned in his own father.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is William Grigg, and we're simply talking about the tragic situation where Anwar al-Awlaki's son was killed, a 16-year-old boy killed 2 weeks later after they'd killed his father, and this was simply because his father had been accused, never convicted. Father had actually spoken out against our invasion of the Arab nations. Of course, we invaded over there because they had certain weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, except they knew they weren't there. They knew the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq had already been transferred to Syria, where they are today. That's where Assad didn't make chemical weapons. He got those for Saddam Hussein. George Bush knew there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, but he sent our boys in. About 6,000 of them died. Tens of thousands have been crippled for life. For a lie. It was all a lie, just like the war in Vietnam was a lie, a great diversion. We fought for 10 years, a war we could have won in 6 weeks. I was personally told that. by the American ambassador to Laos at the time, William H. Sullivan, personally told me we could have won the war in 6 weeks. A four-star Marine general, General Lewis Walt, personally told me we could have won the war in 6 weeks. Instead, we fought for 10 years, and we killed 58,000 Americans because they wanted a great diversion so we could bring in the Great Society, and they were successful. And now, of course, we're reaping the fruits of that as we certainly move into the Obamacare situation. The new medical care system, which is designed to kill off the elderly, it's exactly what they intend to do. This is what Obamacare is all about. And since I'm one of those elderly, I do feel a little strongly about that. Although I certainly, if I were to die tomorrow, wouldn't mind, but I'd hate to be killed by the Obamacare system. If the Lord wants to take me home, fine. But I don't want Obamacare physicians to hurry that along. Go right ahead, William.
You can't threaten us with heaven, but it really isn't their right. That's, of course, a decision over which the Creator has jurisdiction rather than somebody who considers himself to be greater than God.
Well, but basically the amazing thing is I can't even go out and buy my own health care.
Yeah.
I can't buy my own health care insurance. I can't pay. The doctor cannot accept payment for me for private health care if he sees anybody else who's covered by the government. So he cannot actually take my money. I can't buy my health care, and neither will any senior citizen be able to. And we've been targeted, ladies and gentlemen, but that's a subject for another evening. We'll do some programs. Maybe we'll get to William to give us a dissertation on Obamacare. We should be calling it basically a program for killing off the elderly, but go right ahead. But on the other hand, if we're not concerned about the murder of Al-Awlaki and of his son, why should we think that anybody should be concerned just because they're going to be killing off our parents, our grandparents, or perhaps even me? Go right ahead.
One of the things we have to talk about, though, is that the same people running the Obamacare system, the same people who created it and who would have some kind of supervisory authority over it, at least for the next several years, are from the same depraved cohort responsible for the drone killing program. And the premises are exactly alike, which is that you don't have a right to live if the government decides that you're better off dead, or that the supposed common good requires it. And when people start talking about the common good, I always check my ammunition, because the only time people invoke the phrase common good is if they want to impose something on an innocent person who would be obviously injured, discomfited, or in some way harmed by taking something from him to which the so-called collective is not entitled. They never invoke the common good when they're talking about protecting individual rights of property. The only purpose served by that phrase is to provide some kind of thematic or philosophical justification for doing injury to innocent people, or to justify injury that has been done to innocent people. This is utilitarianism, and it's part of that fetid and succulent stream of thought that leads to a Stalinist-type situation. I wanted to point out once again that the Stalinist premises of this drone-killing program were made vivid by the fact that they were trying to justify Robert Gibbs speaking on behalf of his employer at the time. His former employer is a spokesliar for the White House. They justified this because of what the father had done. And the assumption here is that there's blood guilt that's transmissible through heredity here, that by virtue of sharing not the ideas of his father, but his DNA, that Abdul-Awlaki was a suitable target for summary execution. And this, I think, underscores the fact that they believed that he had, that Abdul had, some kind of a duty to the collective to help the state locate and punish his father, rather than being solicitous for the safety of his father. Pavlik Morozov, of course, was a teenager in Ukraine in the 1930s, whose father was designated a kulak, that is to say a wealthy farmer. By wealthy, we're talking about the same kind of standards that the Obama collectivists would use to define the wealthy, somebody who's materially comfortable by virtue of the private ownership and wise stewardship of capital, in this case, an independent farm. During the 1930s, the Stalinist regime, of course, collectivized agriculture, creating a targeted famine that wiped out probably 10 million people, the Holodomor, as that is referred to in Ukrainian history. It was the antecedent of the attempt by the National Socialist regime to wipe out the Jewish population and other targeted populations within their aggressively claimed jurisdiction. You don't hear a whole lot about the Ukrainian terror famine, but it's one of the larger enterprises in mass murder in the 20th century. And in this context, it was understood that people who were identified as kulaks had to have their property turned over to the state, and they had to be identified first. And you had a duty, supposedly, if you were a member of a family where this is happening, to turn in your father. Pavlik Morozov did this. This father was seized by the Cheka secret police and executed. And Pavlik Morozov himself, after being identified as the traitor who had betrayed his own father to the state, was taken by the population of the village and killed. They lynched him by way of a retaliatory act that was generated by simple disgust over this parasitical commitment to the jurisdiction of the state at the expense of filial piety toward his father. But the Stalinist regime made a hero out of Pavlik Morozov and a model for Soviet youth. They built a statue in his honor, and the Young Pioneers, which was the youth auxiliary of the Communist Party, I believe that it was the antecedent of the Komsomol, and that's pretty much the same set of organizations from which the current generation of elites in Russia have been drawn, incidentally. But the Soviet Young Pioneers were supposed to emulate Pavlik Morozov. If they discerned political unreliability on the part of their parents or other members of their household, they had the duty to turn them into the state. And I think that point was made obliquely here by Robert Gibbs. And that, I think, is woven into the fabric of this program as it would apply to American citizens. If you see something, you have to say something. If you see instances or indications of subversive attitudes on the part of somebody in your household, you really should get in touch with the government and let them know. Because this is a war without boundaries. This is a war without geographical distinctions. There is no front. The entire world is a battlefield. Therefore, there are no limits on what the president can do. This white paper claimed that under the apparently all-encompassing authorization for the use of military force, which was enacted by Congress in September 2001, that the president has plenary authority to do whatever he chooses to anybody he targets at any time he sees fit. That's an enabling act in the National Socialist sense of the expression. You didn't have an enabling act, actually you sort of did in, I think it was Article 82 of the old Soviet Constitution. Somebody who was deemed to be a socially dangerous person was considered an outlaw, subject to summary arrest and indefinite detention. That was sort of their version of the NDAA. But in the National Socialist variant of totalitarian socialism, the decree for relieving the distress of the Reich, which was enacted after the Reichstag fire in 1933, made the chancellor of the German government, the National Socialist Party head, Adolf Hitler, the living constitution of that former constitutional republic. And it was under the Enabling Act, this decree for relieving the distress of the Reich, that everything Adolf Hitler did was, in a positivist sense, legal in that country. Under the authorization for use of military force, you have the same situation here, where whoever it is who is the incumbent short-term dictator in the Oval Office supposedly has the power and the authority to order the prolonged indefinite detention of anybody he deems an enemy combatant, to order him to be tortured, to be taken by way of rendition to a foreign country to be tortured, to consign him to a foreign dungeon for as long as the president sees fit, or to order his summary execution. This is now acknowledged. This is now part of the public conversation. And Dr. Stan, on MSNBC a couple of days ago, it might have been yesterday, MSNBC, of course, is an organ that serves the same function for the Obama regime that Fox News served for the Bush regime. Each of them basically is the like a Volkischer Beobachter, a party-owned organ, propaganda organ for a functionally totalitarian party. On the Ed Schultz show, Ed Schultz being one of the stupidest public figures involved in the game of political punditry, and that description takes in a lot of territory, including Sean Hannity. Ed Schultz on his program had a opinion poll for people who watch MSNBC, self-selected liberal left-wing Democrats, asking if it was appropriate for the United States government to target U.S. citizens for drone strikes. 72% of the respondents said they agreed that it is appropriate for the President of the United States to order the summary execution of American citizens by way of drone strikes. That was on MSNBC. If you take a look once again at what's going on with the conservative half of this equation, Lindsey Graham, I'm tempted to call him Lindsey Lohan Graham, is going to propose a resolution next week applauding not merely the targeted killing program, but specifically applauding the executive murder of Anwar al-Awlaki. You've seen commentators such as Eric Erickson, I mentioned Lars Larsen earlier, Michelle Malkin. Apparently there's an alliterative function here because all these names are alliterative, and they're all as politically illiterate as their names are alliterative, if you will. All these people and many others have applauded the Obama administration's program. And they're, of course, endorsing the discretionary murder carried out by somebody they consider to be a socialist dictator. It really is a perfect example of some kind of broke his brain disconnect between the hemispheres of their brains or something, in terms of having no understanding or ignoring the fact that they're authorizing somebody they consider to be a tyrant to exercise the defining function of tyranny, which is discretionary killing of people he deems to be enemies of his regime. I'm happy to say that there are at least a couple of countervailing examples on the left. I've mentioned Glenn Greenwald before. He's somebody who is, in economic terms, attached to a number of policies I find to be perfectly appalling. He is good on Bill of Rights type issues, and I wish he would be more consistent in applying his analysis with respect to economic functions. You can't really have civil liberties if you deny property rights. He's somebody who has been volubly disapproving of what's going on here, and he was very, very good during the Bush administration. He's been consistent in his critique of Obama. Juan Cole, who's another left-wing commentator, has pointed out in a wonderful essay on his Informed Comment blog that everything that the Obama administration is doing with the drone strike policy represents crimes against the Constitution. And Dave Lindorf from Counterpunch, counterpunch.org, he's somebody who wrote a book calling for the impeachment of Bush in 2006. He published an essay yesterday, the first line of which was the following: if the Constitution is to have any relevance, and if America is to remain a free society, then there really is no alternative. There must be a bill of impeachment drawn up and submitted in the House. There must at least be a hearing on that bill in the House Judiciary Committee. The disclosure by NBC of a so-called white paper by the White House offering a legal justification for the executing of American citizens solely on the authority of the executive branch and the president exposes a White House so blatantly in violation of the Constitution that it simply demands such a hearing. These are people of the left, but they are people who remembered the Bill of Rights, and they understand the deadly seriousness of allowing this type of unaccountable power to be strengthened and exercised and entangled in precedence, to use James Madison's famous formulation when he warned that you deny the consequences by denying the principle. You prevent the consequences you fear by denying the principle. The current state of the dialogue, this engineered dialogue in the media right now, accepts the premise that the president should have and legitimately can exercise the power to kill anybody at any time for any reason he can drive. If that's the case, then we are living in terms of the principle of the principle involved, and increasingly in practice, we're living under a form of soft totalitarianism. But I'm afraid it's the quick drying variety of totalitarianism. That concrete isn't going to remain soft very long, and it's drying around our feet right now. And right now, we have to take a sledgehammer and chisel to it before it sets in and hardens very quickly.
And I agree with you totally, but before we go on, William, I want you to tell our listeners how they can certainly get your information, how they can get your articles, and certainly how they can get your PayPal button. Don't be afraid to mention your PayPal button. Go ahead.
I appreciate that, Dr. Stan. My chief outlet is still the Pro Libertate blog. If you go to Google or a similar search engine, type in my name, William N. as in Norman Grigg, G-R-I-G-G, and Pro Libertate, P-R-O-L-I-B-E-R-T-A-T-E. And the first return will be the Pro Libertate blog. The direct URL is freedominourtime.blogspot.com, freedominourtime.blogspot.com. And as you mentioned, Dr. Stan, at the end of every essay, there is a PayPal button for people who are part of that system and are interested in helping to keep me and my family financially afloat. I really do appreciate the help that we receive. It's been literally a lifeline for us. It's kept us as a going concern now for several years. And I won't say that we're exactly swimming in money, but we have been able to stay afloat, and I consider that to be an act of divine generosity made manifest through so many wonderful people who are attuned, I think, to that spiritual wavelength. Once again, it's freedominourtime.blogspot.com. I'm frequently published at lewrockwell.com. That's L-E-W Rockwell, as in Norman Rockwell, L-E-W-Rockwell.com. Mr. Rockwell is the head of the Mises Institute in Auburn, Alabama. Matter of fact, if you go to lewrockwell.com this evening, I was surprised to see that there is an essay there about a conversation I had in the comments section of my Pro Libertate blog with a critic of mine who was condemning some things I'd written about the late Chris Kyle. I wrote those comments a year ago before he was tragically murdered last week, and that was actually something I'd published on my Facebook page and had then adapted into an article on Lou Rockwell's page. And that's an oblique way of acknowledging I am on Facebook as well under the name William N. Grigg. And I'm also available on Twitter for those who follow Twitter. My name on Twitter is at Blarney Concarney. Blarney Concarney is a nickname I got saddled with in college because I'm an Irish Mexican. Blarney Concarney, at Blarney Concarney on Twitter, or Pro Libertate, freedominourtime.blogspot.com.
All right, and remember now, of course, William writes the Radio Liberty letter. If you subscribe to Radio Liberty, you'll get one of his essays on a monthly basis. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, William, the hour always flies, but we've got 3 minutes to wrap up your thoughts this evening.
Well, Dr. Stan, it's always a blessing to be with you, especially in light of the fact that things are becoming so ominous and so frustrating. I find myself finding it increasingly difficult to like certain aspects of the country that I love so dearly. One of the things about loving somebody, loving someone, or loving a country is that you find yourself challenged because of the foibles and imperfections and shortcomings that characterize all of us, either individually or in the aggregate. I've often found myself, and I'm sure this is true of everybody in relationships that I cherish, finding it difficult on some occasions to like the person I love so much, whether you're talking about a friend or a brother or member of my family. That doesn't mean I stop loving that person. It just means that there are some trials attendant to the course of a human life. And I'm at sort of that point right now as I take a look at the tenor of public discussion over what has to be considered be one of the last, if not the last, way stations en route to unambiguous, full-blown totalitarian tyranny, and that is conceding to the President of the United States the discretionary power to kill anybody that he sees that he deems suitable for execution. This simply cannot be countenanced. Any way you look at it, this is something that represents such a huge quantum leap beyond what had been done during the Bush administration by way of torture and indefinite detention, and of course war making against foreign countries on the basis of presidential directive. When a president can make war against any individual without any semblance of legal authority or due process, you have irrevocably crossed the line that separates what we were from what we always thought we would never become, which is a country that adapted for our cultural circumstances is a simulacrum of some of the worst tyrannies in recent history. And I hope, and I literally pray, that some seizure of common sense will grip the public and that there will be some pushback against this. We have to do everything we can to provoke and mobilize people into pushing back against this, because this literally is the last line that we cannot allow the government to cross.
I agree with you totally, William. Basically, things are moving. They're moving at a tremendous pace. But I think there's a growing awareness. I do know that we have more and more people responding to our ministry, and I hope that responding to your newsletters as well. Thank you for being with us. We look forward to talking to you next week at the same time, and hope that you'll get a good response to the program tonight.
Okay. Thank you so much. God bless you, Doctor.
And you too. Good night. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope, of course, you enjoy the conversation with William Grigg. I certainly, we support him, my wife and I, in addition to the fact that he does help us with certain issues. We also believe his ministry is vitally important. He's one of the clearest thinkers and most articulate spokesmen we have on our side, and I'm flattered to have him as a regular guest. So this is the time when I have to remind you that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. You can subscribe to our newsletter, or you can certainly join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and get our four best tapes or CDs every month along with the newsletter, or you can advertise with us, or certainly you can get the various items we offer. Now, one of the things we offer, if you want to know how they control the media, the book, The New Media Monopoly, by a left-wing radical professor of journalism at the University of California, but he's right on as far as his discussion of how the media isn't controlled and who's doing it. Now, he doesn't understand the Trilateral Commission. He doesn't understand that all of these people he's naming tie into this Council on Foreign Relations, a Trilateral Commission complex which rules America today. And to understand that, of course, you need to read my newsletters. They're available at RadioLiberty.com, or certainly you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read it, shame on you. It's written a decade ago, but nothing has really changed. We go back 100 years, so very little changes in 10 years. But we'll give you the information so that you can not only understand that we have a small little group of very powerful men who control both political parties. But what most people have missed is that behind them are powerful, evil spiritual forces. And this is not imaginary. We live in a material world, but there's a mystical world. We live in a substantial or subjective world, but there's a spiritual world. We live in a tangible world, but there's an intangible world. And until you understand that, very little of what's going on today will make sense. We're moving towards a war with the Muslim world. All you need to do is go to the Holy Scriptures and read Ezekiel 38 and 39, and you'll see about all the nations that are today aligned against Israel were said to be 2,000 years ago. They told about the coming war. But you'll notice that America isn't named. Why isn't America named? Well, that's a subject for another evening. But at this point, we hope that you'll get my Brotherhood of Darkness. Perhaps you'll get a case of the book and pass them out. It'll help us, but it'll help you to reach other people and change their lives. So you need to get the book, The New Media Monopoly. We have a 4-tape set on mind control. We have my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. If you want to understand Agenda 21, you need to get my talk on Agenda 21, The Covert Plan. And agenda, and then certainly Michael Shaw's his DVD, Michael Shaw's DVD, Agenda 21, The Wretching Transformation of America. They're both available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We want you to go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, read our newsletters. I mean, I poured out my heart in them for 15 years, but there's a lot of very good information there that you will need. Copy them, distribute them. Don't be bashful. Watch the DVDs that we have posted. Listen to our programs. You can hear them certainly on the Internet, 24 hours a day, 4 days, 4 hours live, and because we do another program that's not archived there. You can get a lot of our weekend programs. But this simply go to RadioLiberty.com, listen to our programs, watch our DVDs, and then your job is to get other people to listen. Learn how to get other people interested. Do it not by telling them what's going on, but by asking them questions. Why do you think the Israeli government released 1,000 terrorists, 400 of them are multiple murderers, to get back one Israeli soldier? Does that make sense? Or do you think they wanted to get those terrorists out there so we can continue the war on terrorism? Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection. And so until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Oh, a land that's free.
live a life from above, from the mouth.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is the 8th of February. You're in the right place. It is Friday. 2013 is the year. Oh, my gosh.
Fresh allegations.
Does it get any more crazy?
CIA prisons around the world. And
we got a story on that one, too. Does it get any more crazy? It's so bizarre. Look at what is happening in California. Now, we've got Brennan, the new alleged CIA director, wannabe, whatever, who's on television saying anything he wants to say without any answering any questions. You've got Leon Panetta on, not answering any questions. You've got a guy in California who has gone rogue on the police department there. And I say rogue for sure. This man and his manifesto, I mean, before you start to think this is the real deal kind of killing that's happening out there, one of our listeners